welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss the latest Prospect Park rumor reports. Will All My Children have a Dynasty-inspired broadcast finale? And is General Hospital a part of the Prospect Park deal? Sarah Brown joins Days of Our Lives. Taylor gets her spine on B&B. One Life to Live's Two Todds face off. And Sharon is sentenced on Y&R. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
And Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, Jamie, you blogged a bunch of rumor reports this last week, as well as some news about Sharon Osbourne leaving the talk. Let's start with Sharon Osbourne and then move on to Prospect Park.
Well, what I reported was that I was hearing that Sharon Osbourne is leaving the talk. Perez Hilton linked the story. Thank you, Perez. Gossip Cop ran and gave it a bottom, you know, that little scale they have. It was at the bottom as total rumor. And then AOL TV, Michael Maloney spoke to Sharon for AOL TV, and she confirmed that she was taking a little break from the show to spend more time with Ozzy Osbourne, her husband. My sources maintain this is not a little break. She is leaving the show. Standing by my reporting, Us Weekly also ran something similar, basically saying the same thing, that it's probably not a little break. She has been telling people, allegedly, that she wants out because of all the tension on the set of that show. If you'll recall, they fired an executive producer after 2 weeks. It is not a happy time over there at the talk. That is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that a lot of the ladies do not get along, that they scream at the production staff and blame them for the show not being where it's supposed to be. The ratings for the show, while CBS continues to tout them, are on average 20% lower than what was for As the World Turns. And that's a very interesting and ironic number, because from what I'm hearing on the other side of the fence over at ABC, for the talk and the revolution, I mean, not the talk, the Chew and the Revolution to be considered hits, they have to come within close to All My Children and One Life to Live's ratings. All this talk about, oh, they can, you know, be less, you know, have less ratings. No, from what I'm gathering, because of the amount of promotion that will be spent to launch these shows, as opposed to the minimal amount of promotion that soaps get, these shows are expected to come within very close. And the talk has not done that. The talk for and if you've noticed here lately, they've gone heavy soap. You know, they kill a soap, or they didn't kill the soap. You know, CBS killed the soap. I'm not blaming the ladies from the talk for that. But they took the place of a soap, and now they're having – it's just the most ridiculous irony to sit there and feign sorrow for Susan Lucci when they put the women and men at As the World Turns in the very same position. And again, not the host, but CBS and Procter & Gamble did. But yeah, I'm hearing that Sharon Osbourne is ready to bolt. This is not the first time Sharon Osbourne has bolted from a show because of tension on the set. She left the British version of X Factor, you know, because she wasn't getting along, allegedly, with Danny Minogue. So I am hearing that, you know, this brief respite will turn into a full-fledged one. Now, as for the soapy stuff I broke...
Dynasty, that sounds pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. It basically, Prospect Park, from what I'm hearing, realizes that they're not ready to roll out their version of All My Children 3 days after AMC goes off the air. It's been reported ad nauseum that they have not even started discussing anything with the cast and crew Although I am hearing that certain cast and crew certain cast members have already said that they're leaving. I heard that about Alicia Minshew. She said that she had not made any decision because Prospect Park had not contacted her to Soap Opera Digest. I'm sticking with what my sources told me. They say she's not going to do it. I'm just, you know, look at my track record. All I'm saying. Don't shoot the messenger if she decides not to stay. But yeah, I'm hearing that they're now realizing that they don't have all their ducks in a row to launch that show September 26th. There's just no way. They haven't even secured the cast. So it's more looking like they will launch All My Children and One Life to Live at the same time in January, which makes more sense. And that, you know, All My Children was supposed to get a 2-hour finale. Agnes Nixon had been quoted as saying that she wanted to leave it with, you know, some storylines open-ended so that it can continue. But from what I heard, the second half of that 2-hour was supposed to be happy endings for everyone. Now that it's continuing on, Prospect Park has asked them to script the show in a way that the future of the show doesn't depend on whether or not the current cast members stay. So from what I gather, there will be a very, I'm not going to spoil or tell exactly what I heard, but there will be a mass disaster type situation.
Talking All My Children and mass disasters, two things come to mind. The Mardi Gras ball, which I love for the cinematography and the choreography. And then I think of that doomed boat trip where David Hayward went and spiked the punch.
Yeah, the little bit of zone didn't cause anyone to die, though.
No, but the doomed ship is the idea.
I hate that story, but no. They're basically taking a page from, you know, a primetime soap, Dynasty.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that it's the Moldavian Massacre. Oh. Anyone who knows that?
So yes, Jesus.
It would be a man-made disaster, but it could be a situation where we're left with who's going to live, who's going to die. And, you know, I mean, no one knows who it would be, but considering Michael E. Knight and Debbie Morgan are already basically, well, Debbie's not going to be there. So I'm like, I know they wouldn't kill Angie, would they? But, you know.
Oh, they bet. They
made her blind. Why won't they kill her?
I don't know.
It's okay. I mean, they can just bring her back like they did Jesse. Jesse was a ghost.
And that leads to a next bit of news. Jamie had reported in his interview with Torchwood's Alexa Havens that Justin Brunin would be returning and that it was possible that she might be returning as well. And that has been confirmed. And so we're going to see Alexa Havens back as Babe, which, considering we saw her die, that should be interesting as well.
Well, we don't know if we're going to see her as Babe or the ghost of Babe. You know, I mean, they obviously now have the setup for all of them to be back since Dr. David Demera Hayward is, you know, experimenting with stem cells and bringing all of pie. I'm just ready for Grandma Kate to show up.
Listen,
alive.
I had flashbacks of As the World Turns and shaky cameras this week, watching Katie McClain run through the park stumbling and, like, barely able to handle herself.
Well, I had flashbacks this whole when
Helena Cassidine.
No, not even Helena. Well, yeah. For Jillian, it's Helena Cassidine. For me, it's Guiding Light when they cloned Reva. With all of the, you know, remember that guy who was like the mad scientist, and they were always like, "What are you doing?" Every time they have poor Jordy Villasuso go to David and have Griffin go, "What are you doing? What are you doing with Orpheus? Are you experimenting on humans?" I'm like, I thought I watched Torchwood at night. Obviously, we're watching it on All My Children. So, and you know, everybody started to figure out. And, you know, it's kind of a neat way since David has a history of it, but it's like, so death means as little in Pine Valley as it does in Salem, USA. But
well,
I love Maria. I loved Maria when Griffin called. He was like, "I would like to talk to you about Dr. David Hayward." She goes, "What is that son of a bitch done now?" And I was like, "Oh, Maria, Saint Maria with the push-up bra," as Erica called her.
Oh.
Well, I just don't want to see Adam Chandler return to be killed off in the Dynasty Inspired.
Oh, I doubt they'd kill Adam. I mean,
listen. Well, hell, we don't know if they'll kill Jumanji off, so come on now.
Basically be, look, it's a situation where if they decide to stay, I guess. But my fear is that come January 2012, that show, the opening credits will open, and you'll see Denise Massey throwing her hair like Susan Lucci. Oh, I just won't be able to stand it.
Well, I think Susan will be able to stand it either.
Well, Susan will be able to stand it because she'll be on Desperate Housewives or with a TV Land sitcom or something like that. I mean, I hope, well, you know, and our pals over at Soaps In Depth added a new chapter to the saga. They're now hearing that the shows might go seasonal. Now, that had fans just acting plumb crazy on Twitter. But
see, I think that might be good. It's worked very well for the foreign soaps.
It will. I mean, the thing of it is, what boggles my mind, and we have a business that basically is predicated on people coming online and talking about how mad they are about the storylines on their soaps. Obviously, these shows, and you know, it's not even, this is my thing. These are soap operas are U.S. soap operas, because really there's no comparison with telenovelas. Like, we do compare, like, how are they still successful? But the reason they're more successful is because they're basically, telenovela doesn't really translate to U.S. soap, except in the fact that they're melodramatic and, you know, they're cheaper than primetime. But they're more like miniseries because they have a beginning, middle, and end, and then a new story starts.
That's what they've done with Torchwood.
No, Luke, I'm not talking about Torchwood. Telenovelas are different shows. It's like one will be Una Madagascar de Carmen, and then the next one will be Azul de
Corazon or something.
You know, they're different. It's like different movies, except they're 13 weeks and they run 4 days a week. And, you know, so it's different. You know, the only ones that continue are like the hugely popular ones, like Ugly Betty, usually they just have one season runs. Whereas with this, I mean, I would be perfectly happy. And I said that on Twitter. For 13 weeks of All My Children, then 13 weeks of, and it's going to save a lot of money, and the storytelling will be better. Because,
we hope.
Well, I believe it would be, because, you know, after 40-something years on the air, it's not even about history. It's hard to tell stories for the same characters for that long. I mean, so, and we've seen it. They're burned out. They're regurgitating their own stuff. You know, Bob Guza did his greatest hits in his last year and got fired. You know, he regurgitated the shows, you know, not just his greatest hits. He did some of Claire LeBond's. You know, they're coasting on fumes. I mean, creatively, you know, I'll catch hell for this because I know people think, oh, I'm an apologist. I don't think One Life to Live is, but, you know, the other two ABC soaps are pretty much, I mean, Garen Wolf's big so far, just my opinion. Everybody's getting excited and reporting it's better. It's going to be better when we do not know it's going to be better. We do not know what he is going to do yet. All we know is he's bringing back people. Well, that might be better. It might not, though. It's like all we know right now is that Days of Our Lives and General Hospital are basically bringing back a lot of people to get the show back. That has not worked a lot of the times in the past, which is why I commend One Life to Live, because even if you don't like the show, they're telling boss stories with the cast they have. Only a few returns. I mean, they have Todd back, but they're not just, I just don't know about this. Let's bring everybody back. And that be, if what I'm saying is, if they, to get back to the point you brought up, if they do make these shows seasonal, hopefully they'll have a better long story because they'll know, okay, it'll be more like Torchwood or True Blood where they have to go, okay, I have to do a long story that lasts 13 weeks as opposed to how am I going to tell stories for these people for 50 weeks of the year?
Jillian?
Well, I was just going to say, to me, I think Garen Wolf and Daze, I told this to you before, I think Garen Wolf and Daze are taking a play by whose playbook, as much as people, some people like to shit on Ron, they're taking a play from Ron's playbook by trying to bring everybody back. To me, I think Garen Wolf is just like, let me watch what Ron is doing and bring him back into some meaty story. But, you know, what you said is correct. The reason why it works over at One Life to Live is because it flows effortlessly. You know, bringing all these superfluous people coming back, for what? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make... I hope it gels well and it adds up properly.
Yeah, it'll be amazing if done right. But I just... Yeah. I used to feel like when Daze did it a couple of years ago, it'd be, oh my God, we're bringing back the veterans. But we saw Patch and Kayla get shitty stories. You know, we saw all these people, you know, really get some crappy stories over and over again. And that's what my point has been. And, you know, I am certainly not a naysayer because I am really hoping that Daze and GH is bombastic in September. But again, I just read the latest Soaps in Depth. Garen Wolf did not reveal anything in terms of an actual story preview. Yet the cover is GH is good again. How do we know it's good again? Just because Bob Guza was generally hated, until we see a paragraph synopsis. I'm not talking about spoiling the story, but you know how they do. You know, Sonny, Jason, Brenda, colon, story preview. We have not seen that, but everybody's hollering the show is going to be better. How do we fucking know it's going to be better?
I'm just tired
of casting news.
Let's talk a little bit more about General Hospital as in terms of the Prospect Report report. You mentioned that it could be already part of the deal for after 2012.
Yep, that's what I heard too. I heard that they already made the deal for GH in preparation for when it ends its run, which is likely next fall when the Katie Couric show debuts, because they have to give an hour back to the affiliates. ABC says they're not canceling GH, but there's not enough time slots. If, you know, they have the talk, why do I want to keep calling the chew the talk?
Because they all have the...
Because you're not supposed to chew and talk at the same time.
No, the bowel movement will be next. The whole process of a morning. Okay, but anyway, the chew and the revolution, you know, they're basically saying if one of them fails, that doesn't even guarantee GH a time slot, because Brian Franz told Deadline that he had been developing up to 15 replacement series. You don't develop that many series if you're just trying to fill two slots. They're trying to get out of soaps at ABC Daytime because they say soaps are more expensive. Well, guess what the most expensive soap on that lineup is? General Hospital. Guess which one has been in the ratings toilet for the last 2 months and has been beaten by a soap opera that has already been canceled, One Life to Live. So it's not like the writing is not on the wall for next fall. I mean, GH will move to the web too. That's what I'm being told. We'll see. I'm, you know, until Prospect Park proves to be bad, I'm going to hope that they're good. I'm going to hope that they're going to make a go of this and be supportive, because at least they're getting a reprieve that my Another World and
Santa Barbara.
Oh, Lord.
They did not get.
Jillian, what do you think of the news that Stuart Damon is returning?
Stuart Damon's returning. Whoop-de-woo. I mean, I'm happy for him and his fans, but what the hell? If all I know is, it better be a ghost, Alan, because if it's really Alan, it better be. Because if it's really Alan Quatermain himself, I will be too hot. Because that's not cute at all. I mean, Garen Wolf is really trying to correct
him. You did that with Edward, though, back when the other
guy. I remember that, when he was Alpha.
You know, they faked his death, but, you know. Well,
Mel, and this last week, Jason proposed to Sam.
Ugh. Just clipping. You hush it! You hush it!
That's what I think of that. I mean, for what it was okay. I actually did watch it just because there's not really any couples on Daytime right now that are happy and doing things. And I was like, well, I need a little love in the afternoon. So let me watch this couple that I'm not really much of a fan of. But it was cute. And I could have punched Maxie for throwing the ring off the balcony. But, you know, it was good.
What is Love in the Afternoon anymore, girl?
Know, like, right? It takes place on a couch that probably
it's
needs to be
called Villy on the Young and the
Restless. No, sir, no, ma'am. No,
no, no.
Yes,
no.
It is.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about some other General Hospital developments. General Hospital has recast Kate with the actress Kelly Sullivan, and this comes at the time when Brenda has flown out of town or is leaving town. Let's talk about Brenda's leaving. Jamie, I know you were one time a big fan of Brenda and
Sonny. I'm still. Don't get it twisted.
Are they in runes and rubble for you?
No, don't get it twisted. I had to explain that to somebody on Twitter. I loved Whitney Houston's Bodyguard and Whitney Houston and Whitney, but I hated just Whitney the album. But that don't mean I don't love Whitney. I love Brenda and Sonny. They are still one of the best super couples in daytime history and the best of the 90s, you know, the post of the modern super couple. I did not like this stint. I didn't like this stint. I didn't understand, you know, they wasted so much, you know, not going to go over, you know, we've been through it on this podcast, but I didn't enjoy this stint. However, their last episode had me in tears. Yes, I did. I cried like a whore at church because when she came back to tell him goodbye, oh, yeah, and Sonny was like, I was never that guy. That was a fictional character that you created in your head. And he started crying.
Stop.
And I was like, and by the time they got to that damn song, Home Again, or whatever it's called, I was just blubbering. I was like, oh, shit. Because, you know, we've all been there with that person that is like, you try your damnedest, and even though you know you're not right with each other, it's just, that, you know, I love that it wasn't like in the past some angry, hateful thing where they, I hate you. It ended on, I'm going to love you forever, but you and I, you know, and I loved how he told her, you knew who I was, because that's what I've been screaming this whole time.
Yeah.
20 years later, I'm not feeling Brenda on this, trying to make Sonny change. She knew who Sonny was.
That's how she lost him with Lily, trying to change him.
You know, and the big women do that. Y'all do that. Y'all will see a man and it'll be, I'm going to make you into what I need you to be. You know who he is. And the thing of it is, she knows that Sonny does this all the time to people. We don't see the people he does this to, but she knows how Sonny makes his money. It wasn't until he did it to Jax that it was a deal breaker. And I'm like, every point she makes about Carly is totally true. Carly bust into that house, you know, like a bull in a china shop. But Jax is just as much an interloper and a threat as Carly. The difference is, though, there's no reason for her to still be connected to Jax. They have no children.
Sonny jilted her at the altar.
Yes, and Sonny and Carly have children. They will forever be connected. She couldn't deal with that. And she really couldn't deal with what he did to Jax. And everybody's glossing over. You know, I wanted to do a post about why is Sonny Corinthos the most hated character in daytime? It's like Jax bribed. And that's how they used to really do it better. Claire LeBond did it a lot better as to why Sonny acts the way he acts. Because back then, the Quartermains were still front and center. And you saw Edward doing all sorts of unspeakable stuff all the time. Corporate wealthy businessmen. And I used to love that point that was made in the story. Sonny Corinthos was no different than Edward Quartermain.
Lila always said that to Edward, too.
Exactly. And Jax, too. I mean, you bribed the mediator, so Sonny drugged you and had some coke and X put on your person. So it is what it is. And, you know, of course, in real, and this is the only thing, though, the mob is the only illicit enterprise that is fictionalized for soap opera that causes such outrage. And I don't understand why. It's okay to love the Demeras when they put microchips in people's heads and bring on fake rapes. It's okay to love dastardly Dr. David and all these other characters who do evil things, but maybe it's because the mob is a real life thing, you know,
maybe.
And people know that the mob exists. But I don't know. It just, I'm like, why don't we see so much hatred about Victor Newman or David Hayward or We do see it with Todd.
Well, we see it with Victor, too.
Not as much as Sonny. Nobody
I
gets
love
much
no. I think I see. I think it's like it's Sonny and Victor right up there. Because I see it a lot with Victor. Like a lot of people are like, you know, at least
Victor though. A lot of that fades pulls in with like people. You know, you don't know where Eric Braden and Victor stops because Eric is always giving some arrogant interview. But the do press.
Oh. Now, Mel, what were you saying about liking Sonny?
I only been watching General Hospital, what, 6-7 months, something like that. I love Sonny. I don't know. I just love it. He reminds me a lot of Victor, and I love Victor. So that could be it. But I love Sonny. I mean, and Maurice Bernard is cute, too. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt things. But I'm just saying, like, he has a compassionate side, but don't piss him off because exactly. He will tell you what he got to tell you. Because I tell you, I almost fell out the bed, jumping up and down and screaming when he went to Jackson was like, "I'm gonna beat your ass so bad you will be screaming me and begging for mercy." And I was like, "That's how you do it, Sonny. That's how you do it."
Well, Jillian, do you love that Sarah Brown's joining Days?
I'm on the fence with that mess. I'm glad, that they are giving someone as talented as her a try because B&B, as much as I love Brad Bell, Brad did Sarah dirty with that foolishness. I'm a little skeptical there. She's not tied to anybody on that canvas, which really don't mean nothing on that show these days. But I'm just a little bit skeptical. I mean, she will be tied to Allison Sweeney, but I got to see what happens. I'm just a little bit, gun shy when they bring these big names on. You see how they do them over on soaps these days.
Lindsay Hartley. I know that Ken Corday is wanting us to believe it's a different Days.
Well, that's what I was just going to mention. But, I mean, they have Deidre Hall running around saying Days 2.0. It's going to be better, bigger, and whatever.
But the thing of it is, and this is a new writing regime and a new executive producing regime, so I'm not going to hold them to what was done in the past, but Lindsay Hartley, anyone? Tamara Braun, anyone? Mm-hmm. Natalia Livingston. Look, I would buy if I was an actress in soaps and I got a job at Days, I would come in there with some brass knuckles and say, "You see this? Y'all let me move my kids out here and put down a lease. And y'all kill me off in 13 weeks if you want to." Because, Days.
Maurice Sorrell.
It's like they made Paul Louise.
And they ruined Crystal Chappelle.
Louise Sorrell was retired in Manhattan living the life of a diva. And she picked up and moved all the way across the
pool. Beverly. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, bye. My fear is, and I've heard this from people who have worked there, who know the deal, Ken Corday will get a wild hair in his ass in 6 months and change everything again. Get rid
but
of
the people. Only thing he hasn't changed for so long was Dita. It took him forever to do that one.
Yeah, well, because, look, these companies, the writer's strike is a blessing, it wasn't really, it was a blessing for some of the writers in that they fought for their rights, which I stand up and believe, but it was also a curse, too, because Garen Wolf and Dina Higley will always have, a couple of others, loyalty to the machine, Dina didn't. Dina's ran out. You can, the loyalty only lasted as long as you didn't keep the show in the ratings toilet, I guess. But the situation is, those were the people who went FICOR and, kept the shows on the air, because I do believe, as much as, it's a dicey subject, the shows would have gone off the air had they gone out of production. It's not like primetime. These big companies were itching to cut soaps anyway. So somebody had to do it, I guess. But the thing of it is, like, that's why Kid, from what I was told, allegedly, that's why he kept her on. Because it's like, you took a bullet by going FICOR and catching all that hell, so I'm going to let you write your bad stories on my soap opera. But, he finally saw that, loyalty can only go so far when, for a while, got to give it to her, as much as I've heard that it was Gary Tomlin. You know, the ratings for Days were on point for a long time.
I chalk that up to Chris Weitzel.
I chalk it up to Gary, Chris, and, you know, Crystal Chappelle's fans came. Lindsay Hartley's fans came.
Oh, I thought you were going to chalk it up to Dina. That's why I said the Chris Weitzel. Oh,
okay.
You know,
okay.
Was the head writer. So, I mean, we don't know what she was doing. Maybe she sharpened a good pencil. But, you know, well, at the end of the day, the ratings were strong. But, you know, Day's ratings fell out. The bottom fell out in the last couple of months. So, I guess Ken was like, I bet you it's been a lot of friendships torn up. Kid had to go to her and say, look, girl, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. And then imagine Brian Fry's having to tell Goosa that. They go back to, you know, Santa Barbara like babies and pacifiers. He had to go, look, bruh, I'm going to see you on the golf course, but you got to go. I mean, it's probably a lot of, you know, fuck you moments going on. Fry's had to fire Pratt and Goosa, like, back to back, you know.
So you mentioned someone getting shot. Todd got shot on One Life to Live, or one of the Todds got shot on One Life to Live this last week. Mel, mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
No, sir.
What'd you think of their confrontation?
Okay, it was good. I like the way it was done, where they're kind of placing doubt in our minds about, does the Todd, well, Trevor's Todd, know that he's not really who he says he is, or is he really who he says he is? Like, there's all this confusion here, so I like how they're trying to add more layers to the plot about who's who and trying to confuse us. That was good. But the whole situation that brought it about with Sam.
Oh, I love that little boy.
My Reva Shane in a corner just hurt my little guided life heart. That is my Reva Shane, and she is in a corner with silly string over her mouth, and she pretended like she couldn't move. I would love to be a fly on the wall the day Kim Zimmer read that script. What? Wait. You mean to tell me that y'all want me to be in a corner in silly string?
Honey, I heard she showed out. I did. I heard that she and Robin Strasser was not happy with that. But I say this. You was having to change your clothes in the back of a hatchback in the air. Be quiet. Get your ass out there on that set and do what them good white people tell you to do. And go home.
Stupid. I love that little boy playing Sam. That boy playing Jack can take a few pointers from him. That's, I said it. I hope when Todd knocks
him. Oh, that Jack is so awful.
Can he go to All My Children for the Massacre?
Who cares about Jack? Sam is a G right now. That little boy playing Sam, I had to look that baby's name up so I could put it in my ratings, rants, and raves.
So cute.
I had to look his name up again. He is amazing. He is hilarious. And, you know, Patrick Gibbons Jr., obviously that scenario was meant for comedy. And I'm going to be honest, I was griping about it until the payoff. Because when I saw Dorian kidnapped, I was like, wait a minute. How did a water fight turn into this crazy hoe deciding?
Okay, so I didn't miss a scene. I was making sure that the network because I thought I missed the scene in there. No,
they cut it out. They, like, last we saw of them, they were water fighting.
Right.
And then David and, was Vicky with them? They showed up and just saw the aftermath. And then it cut to, you know, kind of a hammy, you know, and I see why Zimmer got mad, because she had a little bit, but still, I'm like, you got a job, be quiet, Kim, this is not 85 no more, you are not on the cover of People Magazine, or none of that, go your ass, that's my thing about this, and I don't mean that you should just eat shit quietly, but yeah, I kind of do, because it's like,
have you seen her interview with Logan?
Like, 3 or 4 canceled soaps now, just go to work and do your job, let the writers and the executive producers do their thing. Now, I'm going to be honest. If this was Erica Slezak, I'd have a little more. And with Robin, because that's their house. You are a guest star on this show. I love Kim Zimmer, but it's like, be quiet and do your stuff and go home. That's how I feel about it. And you send hate mail to JB Gibbs, because that is how I feel. And that is how I would run my set. I'm not going to lie. I'd be like, I wrote this. It's like, I love the line that Esther Shapiro said when she and Joan Collins were having beef on Dynasty, and Joan Collins told her what Alexis wouldn't do. And she told her, I'm Alexis. At the end of the day, Alexis comes from the writer's mind. Yes, it's a collaborative effort between acting and writing, but it just... That just, there's too much of that on daytime. God, Mel knows. God and Light could be on the air now if it wasn't for people like Beth Ella saying she wouldn't work with Grant Alexander anymore, allegedly. Yep. And Zimmer not allegedly not wanting to work, not wanting Josh and Reva back together. Just go to work and do your fucking job and let the writers do theirs. I mean, maybe God and Light wouldn't have gotten to the state that it had to be helmed with handy cams if they didn't have to break up popular couples because actors don't want to work with this one, or actors don't want to do what's written, or whatever. It's like, go to work and do your job. Let the writers and the executive producers do theirs.
Jillian, what do you think of the news that Cord and Tina are returning to Landview in September?
Cord and Tina returning, woo. I don't mind them, but it's like, you ain't bringing your kids on. We never know what happened to CJ no more.
Not necessarily.
What?
Not necessarily.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Let's talk about Y&R for a minute.
Their kids are already in town.
Mel. Sharon.
Hot mess.
Slockus.
Statelope.
No.
Okay. What do you think of the developments this last week as she's sentenced to 30 years in jail?
Well, you know, there's a big court scene. She gets 25 years, and then she gets the extra 5 because Adam helped her escape. Then she gets a chance to spend her possibly years of waiting on an appeal in Genoa City if she will just sign an affidavit saying that Adam was the one that helped her escape. But she can't do it because she can't betray Adam like that. And I sat there, and I had to pause the TV, and I said to myself, why won't she betray him? He has betrayed her. I said this on Twitter. I said, he has betrayed her more times than Erica Kane has been married. He stole a baby from her, and he made her believe she was believe that baby was dead all the while Ashley had the baby. Believe the baby was dead for months this went on. For absolute months. Then he had the evidence to prove that she was innocent, that she didn't try to kill Scott. And what did he do? Because she went off and was a slonky with Farmer Sam, he threw it in the water, in the river. They ain't gonna never find it.
Try me a river.
Sharon is just as wild as those animals she was petting on that farm. She's just wild. She's just like a wild dog in heat. She just have to turn her butt up. She just can't help herself.
Oh, God. You know? What?
Well, she's got at least 3 guys sniffing at her.
Yeah, so. Just sniffing at her behind. It's just like, really? You know, you're supposed to be so in love with Adam that you risked it all. You know, all of these. Sharon is in jail with a Miss Clairol brunette set on her head right now because of Adam. Yet 5 minutes after Adam was out of her sights, she was humping Sam. And if he called her Sherry one more time.
Now, Jillian, Billy continues to spiral out of control. Jamie's loving Billy. None of the rest of us agree, but what did you think of the development?
Kick rock, Billy. I was like, you do the thing. Victor, break that sucker up. Look, you know what makes me mad about this storyline? I understand that Billy wants to be the bigger person with Chloe, but it's like, come on now. The Billy that we know would have been like, not no, but hell no. It's bad enough that Victoria lost Reed and we lost Lucille Ball and Ricky Ricardo. I'll be damned if I'm going to let this hoe who stalked me take my baby and raise it with the chipmunk boy. Billy would have played dirty.
Exactly.
I didn't like it.
And everybody keeps talking about he's John's son. I'm like, hold up now, because John Abbott would snatch your baby from you.
You saw what he did with Jill, and she was like,
ran away from Jill with a quickness.
You saw Jill when Victor got his behind involved with that. Jill was like, I will pop you in your chest, pops. So this is bull. This is all bull. And I'm like, can't give him that boy advice. I'm like,
that was awful.
The con artist giving him advice. I was like,
I just want them to get rid. Kane is not a part of that family.
Thank you. Say it again.
I like
Luke, it. Say it again.
K Kay hooked him. I was like, Kay and Jill just double.
I just want Jill to kick him out of Landview on the edge, on the from the tip of one of her fancy
house. I don't know what she kicked him out of Landview, Luke.
Or Landview, Genoa City. Kick him to Landview. No, don't kick him to Landview. Kick him to Pine Valley. There we go.
I want Kane and Abby to go together. I think that would be a good.
No, Deacon and Abby.
Oh, I'm tired of Deacon. I'm not tired of Deacon on the show, but I'm tired of Deacon fucking the Newman women. I want Deacon to be.
She's an Abbott. No.
Well, she's half and half. You know, that's why her name is Abby. But no, they need to go ahead and do Abby. Abby needs to go to Kane and be like, because they haven't even played Abby dealing with Daniel and Lily being back together or anything. I'm like, hello, beat. There's a beat. It went that way, Maria. You know, Abby doesn't care that Daniel's with Lily. And there also should be a beat where, see, this is what I'm playing wishful storytelling. I want Phyllis to ho-check Daniel, even though I don't like how they're writing it with Daniel with the baby, because Daniel was raped. If this was a woman who wanted to give up her baby from a rape, you would be crucified for acting like she's a deadbeat. Like, the whole thing that he doesn't want to be around the kid. Well, the boy was raped. He didn't, you know, choose to be a father. But I do think that Phyllis needs to have one of her gritty moments where she's like, you don't want to raise your kid, but you want to play house with Lily and her too, you
and
know.
For her to bring up the point, didn't you leave Amber because you didn't want to play house?
Yeah, and it's like, and that baby, well, you know, Amber ain't thought about that baby since she, you know, lost her marriage in Genoa City over Lil D. And now she, you know, out there in Bold and the Beautiful Land with this new black baby with that dumb boy.
Now, Mel, I believe I saw you tweet something about Victor or Jack going to be upset when he finds out Victor has custody of Kyle.
Oh, my God. Jack is going to shit an entire bricks of houses when he realizes that Victor has legal custody of his son. Because if I'm not mistaken, Diane has full custody of, what's his name, Kyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, Kimo, we don't know who that is.
Well, there's no court in the, there's not even a court in Genoa City that would uphold that. It's like, Maria, you know, I just want her to go back to striking a pose. There's no way this woman can sign over custody to some man she's not married to anymore. And she dies. The damn biological father would get the kid unless he was Chester the child molester.
I understand that she wants to. I understand that she wants to, you know, that there's this running theme where you have Victor stick it to Jack, but this is far-fetched even for Y&R.
It's plausible. You can't just, you can't just, I'm going to sign my baby over to the postman. You can't do this kind of stuff. I mean, it's like, she is trying to turn this show into Law and Order Genoa City, and she don't know what she's doing. You know, it's like.
Well, speaking of guardianship, Taylor is defending her son on B&B.
I'm enjoying Taylor. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. She got some balls. She took it out of
her. I'm mad as hell, Taylor. It's like she woke up. She hadn't been awoke since she'd been back on that show. But now, like, some
Taylor's been fun.
Sounded the alarm. She was like, no. I can't wait for Thorne, my favorite southerner from Beverly Hills. Where's the Harmon is from Texas. And his accent is so glaring on that show. I can't wait for him to find out that basically his stray, illegitimate, non-forced half-brothers, two kids, will now control.
Well, and that's what Brad Bell set up in the preview with TV Guide, is the fact that Felicia and Thorne are going to have a huge problem with it.
They ought to cuss Stephanie out. I don't believe in disrespecting your mama, but I'd call her a funky cat bitch for doing that. I would cuss my mama out. If you ended up giving your child with Stefano DeMira, all of the, basically his kids are going to get all the shares in my daddy's company? Uh-uh. Thorne and Felicia and Kristen need to come back up in there and just wreck shop. It's like,
put Stephanie in a home. That's grounds for putting someone in a home.
I have my mother declared incompetent. Yes. I'd say she don't know what she is, and I'd have some porridge down dribbling down her chin when the people came over. Look at her; she don't know what's wrong with her. You've been giving 25% to Ridge's slow kids. That doesn't make. And you know who else should be mad about all this? And then I planned that beat. Eric Forrester Jr., Brooke and Ridge is, Brooke and Eric's son, Rick, hello. His mama is the one that basically saved Forrester Creations. Eric is the founder. You know, he used to play that all the time.
He's but Steffi got the company from Bill, so that doesn't matter anymore.
She's going to go play Jump Rope a lot.
She's going to play and Jump Bill is what she's playing.
Rope. All right, her mama caught it. And that was so hood because that was – I'm like, is Taylor a black mama this week? Because you know how it is. When you live with your mama, even if you're in your 20s, and she's knocking on that door, you better open that door. Who is in there, Steffi? I want you to open this door and see.
Yes.
I was loving it. That was so funny. It's like – but I blame – Steffi and Bill. Y'all are millionaires, but y'all got to go do the dirty in her mama's house. Come on now. Y'all could have gone to a cheap motel. Don't be nasty.
A cheap motel.
Well, come this fall, you'll be able to watch Steffi and Bill do the nasty in HD because it's an upgrade.
No, they won't.
All I'm going to say is this. Leave that Botox alone. HD is not a lot of actresses on GH had to go when it went to HD.
That's what was said when she was like, HD is a bitch when she won that award.
Is Botox and HD go together like oil and water? They don't mix.
there's a fair number of them who've used it on that show, too.
It's not going to be Bill and Steffi. It's going to be like, I told you they should, you know, what was supposed to happen in the beginning. She's going to go after Liam now, which I think is kind of skeevy because they should have played that beat from the get-go, but it's skeevy. You wanted to hump his daddy, now you want to hump him. It's like, but
skeevy is good on soaps. I mean, Fallon and Alexis screwed all the same men on Dynasty.
And on that note, we bring this episode full circle from All My Children's Dynasty inspired.
I said back to Dynasty.
From All My Children's Dynasty inspired debacle to Fallon and Alexis.
It might not be a debacle. It might be good. It could be.
I'm not holding my breath, but I'm optimistic.
Last year, All My Children. I don't blame them for this. I told you what I would do. I would just have Janet from another planet just bring an atomic bomb to Pine Valley.
But she was partially responsible for the Mardi Gras explosion?
She could do it again. I don't care. I mean, it's not like that show is in such good shape. They need something like that. I do that on a lot of shows. I'm going to be honest. Earthquake would hit Salem, too, and swallow about 10 characters.
No, you know what? I think you know what All My Children should have been? This is just me. I think it should be something where something catastrophic happens, and then you see, like, Erica Holden, one of Kendall's 50,000 kids, and they jump. And they reading from that All My Children book or something. And then they go on to something.
I'll tell you how it's really going to end up. I'm going to go out and spoil it for y'all. Erica is going to have Miranda on her lap. And she's going to be stroking her hair. And Miranda's going to look up in her eyes and say, Meemaw.
Okay, yeah.
A massive stroke.
On that note, I want to just go around the circle real quick. If a massive disaster hit your favorite soap, which character, one character, would you kill off first? Mel.
I don't know. I could just kill one. I'd kill a bunch of people. I want life to live, though.
What? Name someone.
Let's see. I would kill Jack. I would kill this Baz guy. I would kill Nate Deanna. I would kill Natalie.
Jamie?
Ooh, Lord. Days of Our Lives, I would probably go out and kill. I love you, Tamra Broad, but Taylor would be swallowed by a nuclear explosion to another realm, and then she walked back into Port Charles as Carly's little sister, Keisha. No, I'm just like,
Jillian?
Well, everybody on GH is kind of good. I mean, Lisa done gone. That would have been my ultimate swallow, that bitch whole. I think I would swallow Siobhan, and, next, after that, I think Y&R, I would have Kane just chomp, 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 chomp. I would have that ugly little boy playing Kyle. Yes, I went there. No, don't say that. I would have the little boy playing Kyle. Chomp, 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 chomp. I would have, I would definitely have, what's the face? What's Kevin? I'm sorry. I like Greg Rickard, but chomp, 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 chomp. I would make sure Yvonne Zimmer's ass was at the top of that heap.
Well, I have a three-way tie.
Of course.
So, Melanie on Days of Our Lives has to go.
Good point, Todd.
And you, Amelia Hiley. Listen, you guys all rattled off lists. Amelia Hiley as Victoria has to go.
Good one, good one. Good one, Luke.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at Daytime Confidential. Tell us who you would kill off first.
That's
in the comments.
I hadn't been seen since Clint was in office. And what? I love you, Maria Rizzo.
Twitter.com/DC Confidential and Addison's friend on Facebook. Until next time, so long.